The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's so much potential for anxiety and worry and all the stuff that goes with that when that alignment is not present.
That's right, James. But that can be easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services.
And the fine print.
Yeah.
Those were those products and services.
That's your magnifying glass, right?
That's exactly right.
And also keeping all that information straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary.
That's right, yeah. And when you're confused or scared...
With the fine print?
With the fine print, yeah. When you're confused, or just the deluge of information flowing through, right?
Analysis paralysis.
That's right. You're just not making good decisions, and that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 53 of Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week in this first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then part of the way through the show, every week we get to my favorite part, the weekly puzzler. The weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser. It's a puzzle, and we'll share it with you. And we never know if that puzzle is interesting to anybody but us.
Mm-hmm. Joe likes it.
Yeah, Joe. That's right, Joe loves it. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. That's right.
Well, let's jump right into our show, James.
And they don't know which Joe it is.
Well, they don't know which show it is.
No,
that's right.
They don't. It's one of them.
It's one of the Joes. That's right. Both Joes. You know, the one Joe loves it, and the other Joe... pretends not to love it, but he does anyway.
Deep down inside.
That's right, yeah.
So in our week in review, what did you think were some financial news highlights from this past week?
Well, my goodness. The United States lost its last top credit rating.
Mm. Look at the loan, Josephine.
Moody's. You know, there's different rating agencies, right? You have Fitch and you have
S&P.
S&P, right?
Standard & Poor's.
That's right, Standard & Poor's. Moody's and Moody's.
And they give credit ratings for companies.
They give credit ratings, yeah, based on the credit worthiness.
Municipalities.
Mm-hmm. And the main idea is that...
It's like a credit score for...
For people.
An entity, right?
Entity, yeah, it's a credit score for businesses and entities and... The main idea is that when there's a super high credit score, like anything else, the higher your credit score,
the better your terms.
The better your terms, the cheaper it is for you to borrow.
And the more desirable.
And the more desirable
you are.
That's right. Yeah. And yeah, that's right. Because people, investors look at those credit scores when they're buying bonds or, you know, banks and so on, look at the credit score if they're loaning money to individuals or businesses. So.
So you said we lost our last?
So Moody's downgraded U.S. debt this past week.
What did they downgrade from?
Well, it was the very top Moody's rating.
It was the actual very, very top.
It was actual very, very top. Wow. That's right. And now it is like the very next one to the top.
Got knocked down a peg.
Got knocked down a peg, which was still, I mean, it's still good, but it's not like the tippy top anymore.
And it should raise some eyebrows.
Well, it did. The markets kind of reacted negatively, as you would expect. And bonds sold off some when that announcement came out. So, you know, bonds sell down. When bonds sell off, it pushes the price of the bond down. And guess what happens to yield? Then yields go up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so always remember that bonds and yields have inverse relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a quiz on that the next time we talk.
Good, next week.
That's right, next week. We'll put that in as a puzzler. Right?
So what you're saying, apparently then, debt matters and how much debt we have as a country.
Apparently, debt matters. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. And like when there's too much debt or out of control spending, apparently that matters.
Sounds vaguely biblical as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's right. What is Proverbs 22:7?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I looked that up ahead of time.
Right. Not sure what this blue text is here on the paper.
Yeah, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender.
Mm-hmm. And we've referenced that a good bit.
We have referenced that.
It's true.
It is so true. That's right. Seems like Solomon was onto something thousands of years ago, and that principle has never, ever changed. It just leads you to ask the question, though, do we really, really have a strong economy, or do we just have a lot of servitude?
Right.
And when you run out of borrowing capacity, then what happens to the economy that was being fueled by all the borrowed money?
Definitely have servitude to consumerism.
We do. That's right.
Which helps drive the economy, but...
But the consumer is borrowing money.
Yeah. Not
lots
in a healthy
money.
Way.
That's right. Which kind of leads to another very interesting point.
And we've talked about in the past how much we're at record levels for how much consumer debt folks have on credit cards.
That's right. And corporate debt, too. So it's not just federal, state. All the states in the union have insane amounts of debt, right? It really is. It's kind of crazy. But so really think this through, right? Guess what happens when borrowing capacity runs out? Whether it's businesses, governments, whatever, spending, you know, borrowing, and the more money you can borrow, the more money you can spend. An economy is just a sum total of all the transactions. Doesn't matter whether the money's borrowed or not, right? If the money's borrowed, it creates the ability to have a transaction.
And if folks are tapped out,
then
if they've maxed out a lot of credit, if they've used up all their savings, discretionary income, then there's not much activity going on in the economy.
Then activity starts to slow. Demand slows down because people don't have any more money. They can't borrow. They're tapped out.
And I know last week we talked about inflation cooling off a little bit, but that could be an effect of that to some degree, you were saying.
It could. So April's CPI number... Again, consumer price index actually dropped a little bit to 2.3%.
Lowest since 2021.
The lowest since 2021.
Sounds good.
On the face of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if...
What's driving that?
What's driving that, right?
What's cooling that number?
So if demand drops off because individuals... Families, businesses, governments, et cetera, if people are starting to run out of the ability to borrow money, then
you're really taking the coal out of the economy that's burning the economy forward.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We should try to find something more cheerful to talk about.
Well, talking about cheerful, we're talking about the Consumer Price Index. I think we've mentioned it before, but with the University of Michigan, they have the Consumer Sentiment Index.
Sentiment.
Yep. What are your feelings towards the state of the economy, the direction where things are going?
Oh, those notoriously fickle feelings, right?
Hey, yes, that's true. And we do like the numbers, but consumer psychology can affect folks' financial planning.
A very big deal. And how about, and, so. Yeah, because if
we deal with that with a lot with clients.
That's right. But if, I mean, think about it. If you're feeling good, you're apt to spend more money.
You might go trade in and get that new car.
Right.
Upgrade the dryer that you wanted to.
That's right. The refrigerator. You need a new one. You don't really need a new one, but you're feeling good, so you're more inclined.
But if you're tapped out of money, you've already got a lot of debt on other stuff you've been buying, and maybe, inflation is driving up these products.
And maybe you think there's going to be layoffs.
Oh.
Which there are.
And yes.
Right. I mean, we've seen that in some of our own clients, right, have showed up and said, hey, I lost my job.
Yep.
Big, big layoffs, right? So people are feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
And that collectively is called consumer sentiment.
Right.
Right? Collectively, hey, we don't feel as good as we used to.
Well, they said, I see here it fell for the fifth consecutive month, nearing historic lows.
So for 5 months in a row now, consumer sentiment is...
So they're tapped out, taxes, lower. Tariffs.
Uh-huh.
It's just everything coming at us from every direction.
That's right. And people are hunkered down going, oh, I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
I'm just
going
to go buy some chocolate and,
that's right.
And eat these cupcakes.
Eat these cupcakes, yeah. But no, I mean, speaking of cupcakes, and I was thinking in peanut butter cups terms, right? Because remember the peanut butter cup index, like the Big Mac index?
Yep.
So here's the way it works.
Alternative for CPI.
Alternative, that's right. Instead of CPI, we look at the Big Mac index. So, but here's the way it works. So everybody's the outlook is not good. And you know, oh my goodness, I was planning a trip to Hershey Park this year. Mm. And I get up to actually doing the trip to Hershey Park, and I decide I can't really do this.
Yeah.
Why? Because I spent all the money on peanut butter cups, which cost so much more now than I wasn't able to actually make the trip to Hershey Park.
Right.
I'll settle for the peanut butter cups at the local convenience store.
No, that's not a bad idea.
Well. Anyway, that's how consumer sentiment works.
Sure.
Right?
And you'll settle for the next best thing. You'll find alternatives.
You'll convince yourself that it's okay. And it actually probably is, right, the things we spend money on. But in any case, that's how consumer sentiment works. And especially in a debt-oriented culture, that tends to really drive activity.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on some of these numbers going forward and see where we're headed. But your planning and the fundamentals don't change.
No, the fundamental principles never change.
That's right.
Details change around us, but principles remain the same.
All right, well, that's good. Let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll jump into part two of the Eternity Portfolio Illuminated. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are discussing in detail...
A deep dive.
A deep dive into the book called The Eternity Portfolio, Illuminated by Alan Gotard.
That's right.
And as we said last week, it has a blue cover.
Yeah.
And I love blue covers. This is just going to be a recurring theme, right?
Yeah.
This blue cover. All right. There was a blue light special a number of years ago. Remember how?
That was Kmart.
That was Kmart.
Yep. Yeah. I remember that.
All right. This is not a blue light special. This is a blue cover. But here we are, and we're really want to kind of chew through and work through chapters 3, 4, and 5 in that book.
Good content this week, too.
Mm-hmm.
Really helps kind of put it into perspective and see where the rest of the book might be headed.
That's right. The whole point, really, I think, in this section of the book is about intentional giving.
Mm-hmm.
Intentional giving. If you take nothing else away from our conversation today, we hope that you'll remember that intentional giving is actually something that really glorifies God.
That's right.
And it also...
Cheerful giving.
Cheerful giving. That's right. It mm-hmm. helps you to be more cheerful. It helps you to have a sense of accomplishment, both in that, you know, your giving. And so intentional, planned, well-planned.
That's right.
So this concept, again, this strategy of intentionality. A couple of weeks ago, Kathy Troxell was on the podcast, and she was talking about giving as you go. And the whole story about the Mercy School over in Kenya and sunflower seed oil. It was a great, great story. Look back through the last couple of episodes to listen to the episode with Kathy Troxell. And you can find that on Holy Family Radio's podcast archives. You can also pick up Money and Mission on Spotify.
That's right.
Or you can go to wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, scroll down the homepage until you come to the podcast section. So.
But when you're giving, you know, it's really personal for folks, right?
Well, it is. Giving is very personal. It's interesting that...
Because the concept time, talent, and treasure.
Time, talent, and treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting. When you work hard for every dollar you have, then there is a little piece of you in every number.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, if you inherited that money, somehow there's a little bit of a... It's not quite as personal.
Well, like when I say, you appreciate things when you work for them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But still, even if you received an inheritance from, say, you know, a grandparent, or the closer the connection, the closer are your feelings and the closer you identify to those dollars, right? Or that stuff, whatever it is that you inherited.
Well, we've seen that with securities, right? Mm-hmm. Someone has security and they don't want to get rid of it because someone passed it down to them.
That's right, because Uncle Frank or whatever would roll over in his grave if I got
rid
of
it. And then what did you say that you would say in that situation? You might as well get a frame and put it up there on the wall.
That's right. That is not a story about investments, right? Yeah. That's a story about how you feel about Uncle Frank.
Exactly.
And I hope nobody has Uncle Frank listening. But the point really is that your personal feelings are tied up in every number, every dollar, every thing that's there. It's your personal feelings. It's you identify with that, right? It really, no matter how we try to separate ourselves from that stuff, somehow our identity is wrapped up in that. So our time, we spent time to earn the money. We gave our talent to earn that money.
Yeah, because those are normally rolled up into the same.
That's right.
Your time and your talent, that's i.e. me going to work.
That's right.
And I know when folks, you know, when there's a fire, or you lose something, someone's like, oh, it's just stuff. You can buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's true. It's not the end of the world, but there was a lot of my time invested into earning the money that was required to get that.
That's right. That's right. So my treasure and my time and my talent are really all.
And you don't get time back.
No, that you don't. That's right. So it's all wrapped up in that dollar,
mm-hmm.
right?
And that gift.
And that gift. That's right. So especially when you're giving that, you are giving a piece of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe you think about
and
that.
And that's why it's important to be so intentional.
It is.
You know?
That's right.
You want to make sure you're making the best use of your resources that you were given by God
mm-hmm.
towards what is important to you.
That's right. I think it might also be the reason why sometimes when folks give that there's a little kind of, not sure I want to do this, grudging, mm-hmm. right?
Like a sense of obligation.
Yeah, I'm doing this because somebody was begging me for money or putting me on a guilt trip. You're not giving enough. But you know, God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah. And how does that tie into, you know, we're every day we're getting up, we're planning. But how do we know that these plans are aligned with God? Are these our plans, you know, or some folks might feel like, you know, why why should I do all this planning when, you know, they say I should leave it in God's hands? How about that thought?
Yeah, that's true, because there is the possibility of a significant debate. And the debate works like this. You know, if I'm planning for the future, then I'm not trusting in God.
Right.
So if God's going to take care of the future, then whatever is the point of planning, I just rely on him and he takes care of the future. But that's there's a problem in that debate, in that the world around us is loaded with examples of how the world is planned. Right? God intended for us to be planning. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about, among other things, consider the lilies of the field. Mm-hmm. And the birds of the air. They don't toil or spin, yet your heavenly Father cares for them. And I actually, you know, was stuck on that for many years until I realized that a lily is a bulb. A lily plans ahead, right? The bulb stores up energy until it's time for the lily to bloom. And I think you had noted too that birds build their nests.
Yeah.
So there is this planning ahead that is built into nature around us. So it's very normal for people to be planning.
And I know we found some scripture here that ties directly in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
That's right. And Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, And we could talk about, you know, many more scriptures that really point to the fact that God intended people to be living intentionally, and that means planning.
Right.
So again, we conclude that planning and trusting God are not mutually exclusive propositions, and especially when we work at planning our giving, it's so important to be intentional. And not just kind of being haphazard in how
right.
that works.
So maybe back to what we were saying about giving out of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be transformed into cheerful willingness?
So you mean like the contrast between I'm just giving because I have to.
Right.
So I've got to give a little percentage of my income.
Yeah. It's hard to be cheerful about anything when you have to do it.
That's right.
Right.
Like somebody dragged me here and I'll do it because I have to. Right.
Right.
Pastor was preaching about giving, and they do that all the time, don't they? They're always asking for money.
Yeah.
The guys on Holy Family Radio, right? Every time I tune in, they're asking for money. Well, not every time, but, you know, you get the idea, right?
They're always accepting.
That's right. They're always taking more. So, yeah.
But really by getting involved, right?
I think so. Yeah. The more that you are actually engaged in where your money is going,
you have a chance to see that impact.
It means more. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually see something happening, and you realize that you were part of making that happen.
Right.
There's a lot of joy in that.
It can help make it exciting.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. If you have an opportunity to go on a mission trip ever and see where the impact is actually happening, or any kind of service project, really, talk to the pastor of your church.
Yeah, do some research.
That's right.
And the different charities, efforts, causes in the area that you could get involved with.
That's right. The director of any of those charities, the pastor or church, I mean, they will find something right. for you to get involved with. Trust me, right?
There's no shortage of a need for help.
That's right. But the closer you are to that, the easier it is to see and the more joy there is in your giving.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we're running out of time in this segment, so let's switch gears.
Switch gears. And we're up to my favorite time in the show.
What could that possibly
be? Weekly Puzzler. Here it is.
So, James, what was the question and answer to last week's puzzle?
So last week, I think we said the question was, lenders, consult my summary of your past financial behavior before deciding to trust you with significant sums. How you've handled obligations over the years largely determines my strength, influencing your access to future opportunities. What am I?
So lenders, how you've handled obligations.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
A credit score.
Oh, Joe, you got that one?
That one I
you got that
good.
One.
That's good.
You're coming up with these, Eric. These are too easy.
If Joe's getting on, they're too easy.
That's right.
So this week's is, I work slowly, often unnoticed, month to month. But over years, I reduced what a fixed amount of money can acquire. Because of me, the same item cost more dollars down the road.
Lily pads.
No. So go unnoticed month to month, but over the years, I reduce a fixed amount of what money can buy. Because of me, the item costs more dollars down the road. What am I?
Send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the show next week. We need to take a break. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are discussing a book titled The Eternity Portfolio, Illuminated by Alan Gotard.
That's right.
And
are you going to tell him?
The blue cover?
Yeah, it's got a blue cover.
It has a blue cover.
Okay.
I think, well, I'm just going to be stuck.
I should have just let that pass.
You should have left that pass. We are stuck saying that throughout our discussion, right? It has a blue cover. If you think you remember the color of this book, the cover, you just send that note to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll enjoy watching your emails come
send
in.
Send you a say, small gift.
It's blue. That's right. The cover is blue. Well, we were talking about how planning for the future is not mutually exclusive to the idea of trusting God.
Right. And to be intentional, you're going to have to plan.
That's right. To be intentional about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
and there's benefits that come along with
in
that.
In the book, that's right. He discusses the benefits. And there's four very specific things that when you are intentional and you're living on purpose like that with your giving, that number one is that it maximizes giving and the effectiveness through both clarity and accountability.
Sure.
And that's
basically that, having it on the books.
Having it on the books. Mm-hmm. It has become a goal, and you're now accountable to that goal. Maybe there's even other people involved in helping to achieve that goal.
So it's helping you maximize and be effective, but there's still going to be a whole bunch of other things that are inbounding, trying to take other portions of your money and
that's right.
other time from you.
That's right. And that's a second benefit then of being intentional, in that it makes it easier to say no when those other things roll in that aren't aligned with the purpose that you have laid out.
Because you've already budgeted for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You've planned it.
Mm-hmm.
You're focused on that plan.
And anything else will take away from that plan.
That's right. And that actually, you know, at one level, it feels like you're sort of boxing yourself in. But when you have a well-written, well-thought-out plan, you actually give yourself freedom to be functioning. There's so many things you don't have to worry about then because you're
there aren't hard choices.
That's right.
It's no.
That's right. Your path is laid out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have to stay open to the voice of God, because sometimes God will change your path, right? In which case you need to sit down and visit your plan, rewrite some things. But still, the path is laid out. It makes it much easier to stay focused. And the third benefit is that when you have this plan, and I think we've said this before, I don't remember what episode, but we'll say it again here, that when it's planned out and then you start achieving that goal and giving is part of it, then giving becomes more cheerful.
Right.
Because you are, and you just understand that you are achieving one of the goals that you've laid out. And that's exciting. It's tremendously exciting. And
it's motivating to see progress, too.
Mm-hmm.
It helps lock you down into your plan and dig your heels in a little bit more.
That's right. And especially then if you're also engaged in, like, the charitable effort, or whether it's a church or some mission effort, whatever the case might be, if you're also engaged, like we said in the second segment, that you've gotten engaged and so you're more involved in what's happening there, you're achieving that goal, you're also seeing the impact of your giving, then that's just exciting. So you're cheerful. You can hardly wait to do it some more.
And that's the goal of where you want to be.
That is the whole goal of where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fourth benefit then of being very intentional and really planning that out is that I think it really helps you to understand where faith begins, and it kind of distinguishes between discretionary giving and sacrificial giving.
Right. When you're cheerful, it's something that's near and dear to you.
That's right.
You don't feel like you're sacrificing anything.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Because we talked about that last week as well, that when that goal, that charitable goal in this case, becomes so important to you, then you're willing to make those sacrifices. You can hardly wait to see that happen. And
saying no to those external factors are much easier.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You become more disciplined in your pursuit of that. And then, truly, God's kingdom is coming to earth in a very real way, boots on the ground, and you are in the middle of helping to make that happen.
Well, then there's one big question is how much should I give? How much should I be giving?
Ah, that is another...
I think that's one of most folks are tackling with.
That's right. How much? I mean, it's a great question. How much should I give? Certainly there is a biblical discussion of a tithe, right? A 10%. I mean, there's that kind of thing.
That's the easy answer. Right off the top.
That's the easy answer, and that's right. What if you're at zero, or what if you're at some very 1% and you really feel like, oh my goodness, I can't give anymore?
Yeah.
Having a plan can help to really provide clarity in that.
But it also, just from the get-go, I think it just introduces a negative connotation where it's like, how much do I need to give?
Mm.
I think we're thinking about it from the wrong perspective, right? And because it should be more about, you know, how much is enough for me,
mm-hmm.
so that I can maximize my giving.
Yeah. Yeah, let's kind of say that over again. Say it the same thing, but make sure that the emphasis is like on the first way of approaching it. We're talking about how much do I have to give?
Mm-hmm. As opposed to how much is enough
for me
and your family.
And my family, so that
you can maximize your giving.
I can maximize my giving, right? There's a really subtle but very significant difference there. It's almost like looking at a glass that's either half full or half empty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, the interesting thing is that if you have decided with God how much is enough, and God starts blessing you with more and more and more and more, you conceivably could be giving away an enormous percentage, right?
Absolutely.
On a proportionate basis, so much more than even 10%, because it's not about giving. You know, how much you're supposed to give, it's about being an agent of, about being God's agent, a kingdom agent here on earth. So your family's being taken care of, you're on God's salary, right? And if he happens to bless you with 10 times what you ever thought, guess what? It all belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you are still fine because you and God have worked out this plan where you are cared for.
Right, right. And in this chapter 4, the main idea is how much is enough for now,
mm-hmm.
which includes you and your family. And I like here what we see in our notes. You know, God says, as God over, as we say, God overflows my cup, we need to stop looking for a bigger cup and just let those blessings flow to others.
That's right. That's right. So in the book, he also talks about some key expense areas to review, right? And again, this is just a really important part of planning. You have to know your numbers. You have to know your expenses, and you have to know what you need and what you want, the difference between...
In order to determine how much is enough for now.
Correct.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly right. If you don't have a handle on that, it's almost like that old adage, that old saying that says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll be driving down this road and, you know, on in the future, you're looking back saying, how in the world did I get here? Well, it's because you didn't map out where you were intending to go in the first place, right? So having
But you need to know your numbers.
You have to know your numbers. So in planning, of course, in financial planning, there is an annual cash flow review. And a cash flow review is really just understanding your current income, your expenses, and what's left.
Right.
And I mean, you were explaining back of the napkin math.
Like, yeah.
What's needed? So let's say you have, you know, a certain amount of income. There's built into that amount of income are some things that you're actually not spending.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
so if someone's making $100,000 now in their working years. When they go to retire, like you said, some of those things they won't be spending on. So whatever you're saving for retirement.
Like money that's going into your retirement plan.
401k, obviously that's going to get cut out.
So that's money you're not spending now. So you're not consuming it, which means it's not part of your, quote, living expenses.
Paying into Social Security and Medicaid.
True, that goes away.
Yep.
So right out of the gate, you may
your
have...
Your needs are not 100%.
That's
even
right.
Though you think, oh, I make $100,000 now. How much do I need in the future? You go through an exercise like that to figure out, well, how much do you really need?
How much do you really need?
Right.
That's right. And then there's other things too. Like, let's say you have some debt that you're in the process of paying off at some point, like a mortgage, for example. If that mortgage gets paid off by the time you get to a certain point in your life, well, then that's money that you could either decide to give it away or you could consume it, but it's not money that you actually need on a continual ongoing basis. So understanding your cash flow and having that be a part of your planning is a really, really important part of this, being intentional in developing an understanding of how much do I need now for me and my family so that I can maximize my giving as life goes along.
And the author talks about our cash flow statement, but he also has some other key expense areas that he said that we should be reviewing.
Such as risk management,
right?
Go back to a few episodes ago where we were talking about insurance.
Yeah.
Right. And we should do another, like, extended version of insurance.
Right. Oh, right. Boy. Joe will be asleep.
That's right.
But another area he said is income taxes.
Income taxes.
Because giving can offer tax advantages and deductions.
That's exactly right. So... And then of course, you know, understanding living expenses. That's the living expenses. Those are things you need.
Yes.
Right.
But we can cut down on.
Depending. Yeah. Because, I mean, as American consumers, we do have this, like, do we need it or do we want it?
Right.
The things that we want, pretty soon we feel like we need.
That's right.
So sometimes an adjustment there really doesn't hurt.
Well, no, that's pretty good so far. Let's take a quick break and then we'll wrap up this topic for the week. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on WHYF AM 720, Holy Family Radio.
That's right.
That's right.
The best radio.
The best radio. That's right. Where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are doing a deep dive into a discussion of the book titled The Eternity Portfolio Illuminated.
That's right. We're going to wrap up this last segment, but good stuff so far.
That's right. You know, we kind of took out the last segment talking about cash flow and understanding cash flow and
knowing your numbers.
That's right. And
because how do you know enough's enough when you don't know what you need?
That's exactly right. But there sometimes can be a problem, and that is, you know, what if you feel you just have more money going out than you have coming in? Mm. And what if you feel like, oh my goodness, I should have.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. I should have started being more intentional like 30 years ago or something. It's an ironic thing because sometimes folks who are younger feel like they'll get more intentional when, you know, the kids grow up or they get this finished or that finished. You know, somewhere along the way, they'll get more intentional. And the funny thing is that those times just never quite get here.
Nope. It's not right. Packaged for you on the calendar.
And then somewhere along the way, you get to a spot where you're reflecting on life and you feel like, oh, I should have started doing this like many, many years ago. So whatever's the point of starting now?
Yeah, but you can't think that way.
And then it just never happens. So we always say it's never too late. It's never too late to do the right thing. Right? Mm-hmm. It's never too late to be intentional. But really, I think the best advice that I could lay out for anyone like that is don't focus on the size of the numbers.
Right.
The size of the numbers is not the important thing. The important thing is the principle.
That's right.
And putting the principle into play, and the rest is in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is not the size of the numbers. The most important thing is putting the principle in place and letting God take care of the rest.
And I know the author, Alan, he stresses contentment.
Mm-hmm.
So just be content with what you have.
That's right.
And I'm thankful every day. I pray, and I think it's a little funny. I know a lot of people think, I wish my life was better. I just pray and thank God that my life's not any worse.
Mm.
Like, I'm mm-hmm. very, instead of my life being better, I'm just thankful it's not worse.
That's right.
I'm happy with right where I'm at.
That's right. But this is real heart stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And it is easier to talk about sometimes than it is to actually do.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, we all have, I mean, we talked in the first segment about consumer sentiment, right? I mean, we all have those feelings involved and a lot of times those feelings will drive our action or inaction, depending on where we are.
And last chapter, we talked about how much is enough for now,
yes,
which is how much is you need for you mm-hmm. and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 5, they're talking about how much is enough for good. So you've already taken care of yourself and your family, but now you're also redirecting wealth towards kingdom purposes.
Yeah, by establishing a finish line.
That's right.
That's right. Wow, that was, I think, episode 11,
yeah.
where we were talking with Cody Hobelman about
his Finish Lines podcast.
Finish Lines podcast mm-hmm. and the idea of having a finish line. It, again, you know, I said a few minutes ago that if you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there.
It'll right? just take a really long time.
It'll take a really, really long time. But if, you know, how discouraging it is if you hopped in a car and you were setting out on a trip and you didn't know where you were headed. You would never know. You would mm-hmm. never, Mom, are we there?
You would
there?
Never even know when you got there.
That's right. Mom, are we there yet? I don't know.
Don't know.
I have no idea where we're headed. Right? So having a finish line is really important. It establishes a spot where you can identify, hey, I've got there. I have enough for myself, right? And then I'm freed up to be doing other things.
That's right.
And so the concept really of good enough, I have enough for good, like I've checked the box, then I'm able to move beyond current income or lifetime savings and accumulation. I can move past that and start thinking about how I can expand what I'm doing with my wealth to be, again, that cheerful giver and that making an impact for eternity.
Right. And I like how the author defines financial independence for Christians. He says that it's not independence from God, but a point where family portfolio needs are met, allowing radical focus on the eternity portfolio, kingdom purposes.
So say that again. It's
not independence from God.
Right.
But your family portfolio needs are met, allowing radical focus on the eternity portfolio.
Yeah.
So he wants you to square yourself away, plan for you, your family's needs. Don't be a glutton, but take care of the needs.
That way
you can focus radically on kingdom needs.
That's right. But radical is, again, it's kind of like beauty in the eye of the beholder, right? Or like we said earlier, when a goal or something becomes so important to you that you reach a spot where it doesn't feel like a sacrifice anymore. It doesn't seem like this is really radical, right? It's only radical if the goal of what I'm doing has not become so important that I just have that thing inside of me that says, you know, this needs to happen.
Right.
Right.
And that keeps you from taking unnecessary risks once you're so focused and locked
in. Once you're so focused. Well, how does that keep you from taking unnecessary risks?
Well, like what we were saying about the no, right? When you just start opening up and just start allowing yourself to be pulled in different directions. You know, I mean, first and foremost, you're risking that priority, that goal that you set.
When you get pulled in many different directions. That's right.
Risk becoming engrossed in debt, going down a path that's not meaningful for you, and not getting that time back is the one asset you can't replace.
You can never get your time back.
Mm-mm.
That, yeah, we think we can get time back, but we can't. No, but that's right. So if we wind up easily, and this happens so easily that we're going in six different directions, and then all of a sudden, one day we wake up and we say, I'm not getting anything done.
Right.
Because I'm just going in different directions. So, and then it becomes really difficult to kind of pull that back in and get back on track to a spot where we feel like we actually are headed where our heart's calling us to be.
And I know what a lot of folks struggle with is, you know, we talk about this finish line. It sounds great, but how do I figure out what my finish line is? How do we go about calculating that?
How do you calculate that?
Because it would be different for everybody.
It would be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is financial planning.
Yeah. Right? That's right.
I mean, this is wealth management.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can know what that finish line is to kind of pull everything out and plan.
Yes.
So I just want to kind of restate that. When there's a good plan in place, there can be a lot of personal comfort and relief in knowing that everything is in order.
Yeah, I think we intro with that almost every show.
We do.
When your money's aligned with your values and convictions as well as your financial goals. And
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Joe's tired of taking too many takes on that.
That's right. But you know what happens is I read that paragraph and then I turn the page over.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have a short memory. Who was it that said people have the average attention span of a goldfish?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Is that true?
Okay.
It was on the internet. It must be.
It must be. That's right. Okay. We'll stay focused here and stop going in different directions. But there are four real factors, or I would say five. Real factors in figuring out how much is enough. As we said, this is financial planning. So certainly cash flow.
Yes.
And projecting that cash flow. It's easy to lay it out on a ledger. And cash flow sounds complicated, but it's really nothing more than just how much am I taking in and how much is going out.
Yep. Cash in, cash out.
Where is it going?
That's right.
Cash flow.
And knowing how much short you are for your retirement goals in those years.
If you're short or if you're not short. Mm-hmm. That's right. Knowing that, the sooner you know that, the better position you are to actually be making whatever changes you might need. So secondly, life expectancy, which is tough because there's only one person who knows exactly when we're departing Earth, and he doesn't share it with me.
We can get diagnosed or hit by a bus or we can live a long and happy life.
That's right. But we can still look at the averages.
But we still project out and be conservative.
That's right. Second or third, I think, is inflation.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, we talk about that. CPI. That's right.
Big Mac index.
The big, the peanut butter cup index.
That is an official firm position that we use, the Big Mac index.
Yeah, that's right. An official position of our firm, the Big Mac index. But that's really, again, just, you know, the loss of purchasing power of your dollars and how you're structured. So there's inflation, then there's investment returns and the performance you're getting out of your investments. And last but not least, risk exposure.
And that was the one you added.
I did add that.
So the author has your cash flows, life expectancy, inflation, and investment returns.
And then
and you brought up a good point.
Risk exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Death, disability.
What happens to some of your assets?
Long-term care expenses.
To your money-making capability.
That's right. That all goes into figuring out how much is enough for good, right? Adding all that together helps you to decide where the finish line is.
Right.
And so that way you know when you've arrived at the finish line.
And like what you said earlier about, you know, I'll wait for this, I'll wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
The author reminded, don't wait for the finish line to give. It's about accelerating generosity. It's the whole point of this process.
That's right. Doing it as you go.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think, you know, we figured out the why and kind of the how much in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I think next week we'll kind of be exploring the what, where, and how of how to design an eternity portfolio.
How to design that. That's right.
Yeah.
So, so stop back next week. We'd love to, again, see you here.
Yep. And when we talk about that and how to design it, then that'll help all of our listeners out there, help them make wise kingdom investments, because that's what we all want to be doing.
That's all what we want to be doing. That's right.
That's right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week to finish out this program. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.